Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're taking you to the heart of ag policy from the Minnesota Farm Fest. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz was tapped this week as Kamala Harris's running mate. He served as a congressman representing Minnesota's 1st District from 2007 until he was elected as governor in 2018. Walz served on the Agriculture Committee during his tenure in Congress and worked on the 2008, 2014, and 2018 farm bills. Instead of telling you about Walz's agriculture record, we went to the countryside and asked those who know it best, Minnesota farmers, senators, and agriculture group leaders. Our first guest this week is Agriculture Committee member and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar. She says Walz is positioned for the ticket with Midwestern roots and a track record working on rural issues.
He is from the Midwest and served on the House Ag Committee, and people don't have to agree with him on anything, but having someone on there matters. It matters for me as a leader on the Ag Committee to have someone that actually served on the House Committee, got a bill through with Colin Peterson, knows about Midwestern ag issues, knows about biofuels, knows about hogs. That's going to help. He represented a district that was, nearly all rural. That makes a difference in that job, because otherwise you don't know who to call and who you're talking to. So I really wish him the best.
While speaking in the U.S. Senate Candidate Forum at FarmFest, Senator Klobuchar discussed her focus on biofuel policy. We asked her, if elected, what impact will Walz have on biofuel policy while also balancing the electrical vehicle incentives the Biden administration has put into effect?
Biofuel is incredibly important in Minnesota. You know, we've got 19 ethanol plants, we've got 3 biodiesel plants, and actually, I think that we have a real opportunity here to get year-round E15. We've already got the RFS standard, like to see it a little better. We've got some infrastructure going out. I think people have accepted that biofuels are here to stay. One of the ways you can mesh this is with flex fuel cars. And Senator Ricketts, formerly the governor of Nebraska, he and I have a bill together. And he actually wrote an opinion piece about it in the New York Times, go figure, that says, if you're going to do the hybrids, let's make sure we have extra incentives for biofuel hybrids. And so I think that's one of the answers here.
And turning a little bit to the farm bill conversation, your work in Washington right now, how does the farm bill outlook and the process change when Senator Stabenow retires?
Sure. Well, I hope we can still get it done in this year. That might seem kind of Pollyanna, but I don't think so, because uncertainty is not a farmer's friend. We don't know what we're going into in the next year, who's going to win, who's going to be the ag secretary. So I'm hoping in the next month and two that Bozeman, who's a good friend of mine, and Stabenow, also a friend, they negotiate together, get a draft. We can get it through the Senate Ag Committee pretty quickly. It's a pretty bipartisan group there. We know what the parameters are. There's not huge differences in policy. There's some differences in funding, okay? So we get that worked out, and then we could pass it in the lame duck by putting it on something else. Lame duck is a stupid term that stands for the time in between the election and the end of the year. Otherwise, we're going to have to get an extension, which we can do, but then we don't know who's going to be in charge next year. So why not get this worked out now so we can get it done? Something I've talked to both Senator Stabenow and Senator Bozeman about.
And Senator Grassley yesterday made comments that Democrats will have to make cuts to nutrition program in order to pay for the commodity program. What are your thoughts on that?
So we actually made an agreement in the past here about how some of this can work. And I think there's some changes that can be made to nutrition in terms of work requirements and the like, work incentives. We've made those in the past. We can do that. But I think on the funding side, we can make some changes, but the only way we pass this bill, the only way, is by having everyone agree. And we actually depend more on Democratic votes in the Senate than in the House. And right now, with the House cuts on nutrition, they passed like dozens of post office bills, and they haven't been able to get that on the House floor because they don't have the votes, because some conservative Republicans don't vote for it. So it's always got to be somewhere in the middle. So let's work this out.
One quick question. So obviously Senator Stabenow is retiring. You mentioned in your speech that being on the Senate Ag Committee was a priority for you when joining Congress. What do you believe is your next move when Senator Stabenow retires?
Well, I mean, one possibility, obviously, that I chair the Ag Committee or the ranking member, and that would be such an honor to do that. You know, you got to see how everything works out here, but whatever it is, I'm going to be a strong leader on Ag, and I'll continue to do that.
We'll be right back with more from Minnesota Senator Tina Smith right after this.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of a space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Spring floods, fall floods, there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Tina Smith has served as a Democratic senator from Minnesota since 2018 and sits on the Agriculture Committee. She says Wahl's agriculture background positions him well to serve as Kamala Harris's running mate.
Well, first I want to say that I think it would be the first time since Jimmy Carter was president that we would have somebody who had, you know, lived on a farm be in the White House. So it's very exciting for Minnesotans to think of our governor having this opportunity. And I think he's exactly the right person at the right time. You know, Governor Walz did a lot of work on ag issues when he was in Congress. And in fact, I worked with him when we overlapped on some of those issues, especially around some of the conservation programs, bipartisan conservation programs that we are working on. And since he has been governor, he has had a very strong State Department of Agriculture that has been there for Minnesota farmers in the floods and in the droughts and in their work to make sure that water quality reforms were working for farmers and just in the work to promote agriculture in Minnesota. So I have no doubt that he'll bring that same commitment to agriculture to the job of vice president when that happens.
How do you think that, on the topic of biofuels, how do you think that the Harris administration, Harris-Walz administration, could balance both the push for electric vehicles and biofuels, maintaining, you know, those markets, but finding a balancing act between the two?
Well, I think it's important for people to understand that these two ways of getting around, electric vehicles on the one hand and, you know, traditional fuel, liquid fuel vehicles on the other hand, do not need to be in conflict. And in fact, we're going to be seeing cars on the road that rely on liquid fuel for years and years and years and years. And I expect a Harris-Walz administration to be appreciating that and to be appreciating the need to strike that balance. And as I said, always also looking for how we can be leaders and not followers. How can we be leaders when it comes to the next innovations for biofuels?
While at FarmFest, Senator Smith also spoke on a panel about the state of the Farm Bill with leaders from some of the nation's largest farm organizations. The Congressional Budget Office recently released a cost estimate of the House Agriculture Committee's Farm Bill, explaining that it would boost the federal deficit by $33 billion over 10 years. We asked her, what is the possibility of the House Farm Bill moving forward with funding concerns?
Well, so what the report found is that the House bill is only about 34% paid for. That is a big deal. I think that what we need to do is to be real about how much stuff costs. We have to be realistic about how much we can afford. And it's also the case that I think the main place where we have to come to agreement, where that hasn't been achieved yet, is on what we want to do around Title I commodity programs, ARC and PLC, and what direction we go there. There's no doubt that the cost, the input cost, the cost of production for commodities in this country have gone up, I think, roughly around 25%, and prices have not kept pace with that. And so we're on a trajectory where those programs are just not going to be that useful if we can't figure out how to adjust them. But we also need to make sure, and this is my top priority, we need to make sure that those payments are going to farmers farming. And one of the other realities of the commodity program is that it is still based on the base acre calculations from 40 years ago. So there's not a perfect match by any means between who gets the payment and who's growing the crop.
On that funding topic, Senator Grassley yesterday on a call with reporters mentioned that he believes that to fund reference prices, there needs to be cuts to nutrition programs. So I guess hearing that from one of your committee colleagues, what are your thoughts?
Well, Senator Grassley, I have a lot of respect for. He and I do a lot of work together. But I think Senator Grassley knows or should know that 80 million people in this country count on the SNAP food program. And most of them are families with kids and seniors and folks living on disabilities. And do you know that the average daily payment is only $6. Think about trying to feed yourself on $6 a day. What Senator Grassley is talking about is the Thrifty Food Program, which we have adapted so that the amount of money that families are getting is somewhat in line with how much it costs to feed a family. And one way of saving money would be to cut the basically say that SNAP doesn't have to keep up with what actually food costs. And that would have a massive impact on families and the poverty that families would be experiencing. And a lot of these families live in rural communities. So I don't think that's the right way to go. I don't think it'll get bipartisan support. And without bipartisan support, it can't get done.
And are you hearing, of course, during an election year, not your election year, but during some of the election year, are you hearing pressure from your constituents about passing a farm bill that's weighing on their decision to vote this November?
Well, we certainly heard at Farm Fest from producers here in Minnesota that they want to see something get done and that there is a cost to it not getting done. And I am going to carry that message back. I heard it loud and clear. It's a message that both Republican and Democratic lawmakers need to hear so that we can reach an agreement by the end of the year.
Senator Smith, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's great to be with you.
We'll be right back to talk with Minnesota farmer and National Corn Growers Association President Harold Woolley about his history working with Walls.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back. Harold Woolley is a corn and soybean farmer from Medalia, Minnesota, who also serves as president of the National Corn Growers Association. Walls represented Harold's first district in Minnesota during his tenure in Congress. Harold says that Walls has a deep understanding of agriculture and biofuel policies important to Minnesota farmers.
He was our congressman from Minnesota's first district, which is a very rural district. We grow a lot of corn and soybeans, a lot of hogs, and even some dairy cattle in southern Minnesota. So he is familiar with agriculture because he represented us. He served on the Ag Committee, the House Ag Committee, when he was in Congress, and helped in the process of writing three different farm bills. So he's very knowledgeable when it comes to farm policy. And then in the state of Minnesota as governor, he had $6 million in his budget for biofuels infrastructure. So the service stations could apply for a grant to help update their equipment to make it compatible with higher blends of ethanol and biodiesel. So he's been an advocate for agriculture and biofuels. He was one of the eight Midwestern governors that applied to the EPA for summertime sales of E15. So we're going to enjoy the benefits of that next summer if we don't get a national law passed allowing the year-round sales of E15.
He's, of course, during his tenure as a politician, been on a lot of farm visits. And if I take it correctly, he's visited your farm before.
He did. Minnesota Corn Growers Institute or program, Minnesota Corn Grows Minnesota. And a result of that was inviting politicians out to the farm. So during one of his campaign cycles, we invited him out to my farm and had a very good conversation with him in our farm shop. Always enjoyable to talk ag policy with a significant politician.
And one of the things on the biofuels issue is kind of balancing. The Biden administration's had the push for clean energies, electric vehicles, and then Walz, of course, coming with the biofuels background. So how do you hope that the administration, if elected, you know, they can find a balance between both those clean energy things that they've started working on and renewable fuels, biofuel policy?
That's exactly the case. We are pushing for an all fuels policy. We know that electric vehicles are going to be part of the transportation system as we decarbonize that transportation system. But there's room for biofuels and ethanol, higher blends of ethanol, to help decarbonize the transportation system. You know, we know how to grow the corn, we know how to store it, we know how to process it in our biorefineries. We can start to lower the carbon in the transportation industry's fuel right now with higher blends of ethanol.
I guess turning a bit to the farm bill, you spoke on a panel here at Minnesota Farm Fest about that. What are some of the biggest priorities that you as a corn grower, as president of the National Corn Growers Association, are pushing politicians to include this year?
Well, the crop insurance title is very important to all corn farmers and to our system of financing. You know, our bankers rely on that crop insurance guarantee to when they make operating loans to farmers. So that's a very important part of it. The Title I safety net programs are important as well. They can provide some relief during the really poor years. So and I think that we're heading that way. And there's a couple other titles that are important too. There's an energy title. So I want, as Congress works on that, for them to think about including higher blends of ethanol that can increase the demand for corn. And I also want them to work on the trade title. Free trade agreements work. We've got an excess supply of corn right now. We've got low prices. We need more demand for our product, and our overseas customers can provide that if we have a system that is fair, a trade system that works.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
We'll be right back with more from National Farmers Union President Rob LaRue right after this.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Spring floods, fall floods, there's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops. We have better drought stress tolerance.
When it all boils down to it, these USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America. All that increase, it's going back into the economy.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Welcome back. Rob LaRue serves as president of the National Farmers Union. A farm policy veteran, LaRue was Democratic staff director for the House Agriculture Committee for over a decade, where he oversaw the 2008 and 2014 farm bills, two pieces of legislation that Walz worked on as a member of the committee. LaRue says this experience has prepared Walz to work on rural issues in the administration.
Well, I think, you know, ag issues and rural issues combined, we have in Tim Walz somebody who grew up in rural America, somebody who has not only understands what a farm bill actually is, but has worked on one, has worked in through a conference of a farm bill in the past, and then as governor has also really kind of worked on those rural and ag issues. So I think, you know, he has a real good grasp on a lot of the challenges that are facing rural America right now, and certainly the importance of getting some real support out there for farmers.
diving into some of those issues on the Harris ticket, looking at Harris's record in particular, she has been a proponent of farm worker rights, and so especially those heat protections. And so ag groups have told us, you know, they're still concerned about the ag labor shortage. So what's the balancing act there between her history and what do you think we can expect from an ag labor perspective with that ticket?
Yeah, well, quite frankly, I think a lot of farmers are also very supportive of making sure that farm workers, right, these are often kind of second family members for us. We have workers that come back to our operations year after year. So we want to make sure that those protections are there and that they're reasonable and practicable. And I think that that, again, is part of the benefit of having someone like Tim Walls on that ticket, is someone who brings a lot of that kind of very practical, common sense approach that farmers know very well.
In the regulatory space, what can we expect from a Biden-Harris administration? At the Republican National Convention a few weeks ago, one of the big topics was cutting those regulations. So what do you think from that Democratic ticket we can expect?
Well, as farmers, right, we always want some regulatory relief. I think regardless of the administration, I think the bigger question, quite frankly, is the recent Chevron decision and the impact that that's going to have on how agencies use discretion to apply regulations and enforce the laws. So I think there's going to be, unfortunately, I think a great deal of uncertainty. We might have some benefits in farm country, but I think that the question is still out there about what the full effect of that's going to be, again, regardless of the administration.
Looking at WOTUS in particular there, that's one of the things that in farm country we've heard a lot about, a lot of concern about. How do you think the administration would pose regulations with that?
So hopefully, and again, in a very kind of common sense, practical kind of way, I think really what farmers have always been seeking on this question around WOTUS is certainty in this. And we unfortunately haven't had that for the last several administrations. And so hopefully into the future, we can get some certainty around that.
Rob also spoke on a farm bill panel at the event. He says it's important for policymakers to consider what happens in rural America if a farm bill is not passed.
I'm serving on a panel that's appropriately titled Farm Bill Fatigue. And I think that there's a lot of big questions, but I hope that as farm groups generally and farmers and ranchers out there, as we look ahead and the questions about are we going to get a farm bill done yet this year, I think the question is what will happen if we don't? And as I talk to bankers, as I talk to folks who are burning through equity out there, I think that those kind of financial and the economic conditions that are growing are going to be continue to be a problem as we look at markets over the next couple of years. I think that question of what if we don't get a farm bill is the bigger question and all the more reason why we have to get it done yet this year.
And have you heard that in the countryside from a voter perspective? Is the farm bill weighing on the candidates or are voters asking their candidates, why haven't you made progress?
Certainly we hope so. And in Farmers Union, we're certainly pushing that. But I think the broader Farm Coalition is also doing that. And I think it's time for us to ramp that up because the message really needs to be clear that simply bumping this into the future is not a winning approach for any farmer out there. And so we need to really focus. And I know that there are lots of ways to be creative and bring these sides together and get something done. We're encouraged by some of the conversations going on at the Ag Committees right now. And we remain somewhat hopeful that we can get this done.
Well, thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Stay tuned for a look at the week ahead in Washington and a special project from our editorial team.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this farm bill coverage.
Welcome back. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. Both the House and Senate are in August recess. Our team will be preparing for coverage of the Democratic National Convention in Chicago the week of August 18th. If you're short on reading material during the legislative break, our editorial team released a comprehensive project diving into the Biden administration's Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities initiative. The program combines more than $4 billion in USDA and partner investments. Noah Wicks and Rebecca Alvey from our team have a complete analysis on our website of 82 project agreements that are getting at least $5 million in USDA funding. As always, stay tuned for the latest on this and more at AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.